Hello, and welcome to episode 15 of the Hollywood Knitter Podcast. It is Monday, February 6, 2012, and I am actually recording this week in Lone Pine, California. In today's episode, we'll have some welcome, some in the can, now playing, coming attractions, a little bit of gossip, behind the scenes, a Hollywood story, and some production notes. First off, I would like to say a big welcome to everyone who is listening to my podcast for the first time. Thank you for giving it a try. And for all my returning listeners, hey. I almost wanted to say, hey, y'all, but y'all isn't something I normally say, but sometimes it just rolls off the tongue. Anyways, it has been, I think, a little over 3 weeks since I last recorded. I didn't intend for it to be this long. I really am trying to go on a twice monthly schedule. I think that works well with me having enough to talk about, as well as being able to find the time. I'll talk about it a little more later, but work's been a little crazy. Thanks everyone for sticking it out, and for all you new listeners, thanks for giving me a try. In the can. So this week I have two finished objects and a sort of finished object. First up, I finished my watermelon socks. So I have a new pair of socks for myself, and these are inspired by the Honey Badger pattern by Irish Girly Knits. And I say inspired by because I changed them to toe up, I changed the heel, I changed the way I did the eyelets, I changed the eyelet spacing. So really, they were just inspired by. I think I made enough changes to say that. I talked about this before, but I didn't follow the eyelet pattern the way it was written. And I kind of just said, oh, I know how to do an eyelet. And it wasn't the way the pattern wrote. And then I did it that way. And I did it my own way. And I did it. Yeah, I did it all sorts of way on the first sock. I think I did the eyelets at one point three different ways, all in the same sock. Like I would do one row one way, and then I'd do the next row of eyelets a different way. And then on the second sock, I decided to just do a simple eyelet, which was just a yarn over with a knit two together. And I did that throughout the whole sock, and it was fine. And honestly, when you look at the two socks, you really can't tell that much of a difference. Like, it's all in my head. Nobody else would really be able to spot it. I mean, maybe another knitter if they looked really closely, but just glancing at it, you couldn't tell. But I did end up finishing these, and these were done in a watermelon colorway that I purchased at Camp Kip last summer, or one or the other, I can't remember. I don't know who the dyer is, so I can't attribute to them. I ended up using 390 yards to make these two socks. And this is with me even making them longer. Like, I wanted to make them boot length, which I usually don't. I usually do my socks like calf length, like not very long on the calf because I have bigger calves. But I intentionally did these longer with the idea almost. I measured the yarn out into two equal balls, and I was intended to use all of the yarn up. But when I got towards the end, it was really long and I still had a lot left. So I ended up cutting off only using about 40 grams for each sock. And that gave me a sock that was plenty long enough. So I guess I only need like under 400 yards to do socks, which makes sense and why I always have a pretty decent sized sock ball when I'm done with making my socks. Overall, I'm pleased with the socks. Maybe one day I'll go back and follow the Honey Badger pattern the way it's written. But in the meantime, these were great. The first sock took me a while, and then the second sock I ended up barreling through because I had a meeting at work. A partnering meeting where we meet with our contractor so that we can all be friends and work better together. Which is fine, except it's all of the big wigs who aren't as involved in the project and not as many as the people on the ground doing the work. So I always laugh a little at that, but it's important they work together too. And then I got to be there, so I had 4 hours where I knit. And so I got a pretty significant part done, and then I got almost to the heel. And when I do a heel on a sock, I have to finish it. Like, I just keep working on the heel until it's finished. I can't leave a heel halfway through. I can leave the foot halfway through. I can leave the leg halfway through. But a heel I have to finish right away. So I did that. And by that time, the sock was almost done. And so then I finished it. And really pleased with the socks. The other project that I finished that I picked up and knit was my Mother Bear, I did a mother bear. I call it mother bear number 4 because it's the fourth mother bear I've done ever. And this was to be part of Dr. Gemma of the Cognitive Podcast Cow Cow, which is a knit along crochet along for the Mother Bear Project. And the Mother Bear Project, in case you haven't heard about it, is a organization that knits these bears to a very specific pattern and then gives these bears out to children in Africa who've been affected by HIV or AIDS. And there's no requirement for giving these bears out. They just give them to kids on the street, and it's just something for them to hug and call their own and just a expression of love. I intended to do this, be part of this charity along, and I pulled out my scraps and I brought them all down out of town with me. And I actually finished this first bear like all in one day because we had a pretty significant rain event about 2 weeks ago that precluded my contractor from working. So basically on those days, what I end up doing as I'm a construction inspector is I get all my paperwork done in the morning. And then if I don't have anything else to do, I went back to my hotel room and was on call and worked on this bear. So I finished almost all of it that day. So that was awesome. I finished the face last night, and I'd not done a mother bear face before. This was actually my fourth mother bear, and I had three other bears that have been sitting around for about 3 months at my house just waiting for faces because I couldn't, not good with embroidery, and I was really kind of daunted by putting these faces on. But I went on Ravelry and found a link to someone's blog where they did like a picture by picture of how they did it, like how they went in like through the back and then did the mouth and then went up for the eye. And I followed it, and the first one was a little shaky, but then the other three, I think, came out okay. So overall, I'm pleased, and now I will have the four bears that I will be sending along to the Mother Bear Project because I won't be making it to Stitches West to turn them in there, but that's okay. I will definitely be making more of these bears. Oh, I should mention I did the knit bear in the round, and so I actually have the Mother Bear pattern for crochet that I bought, but it's a pretty basic pattern, and it's just the proportions that you kind of do the same. And so I actually just did it in the round for knitting and it worked really well. The other thing I'm sort of counting in the can was a repair that I made to a shawl of mine. I have had a shawl with what I thought was one hole in it for months. And this was probably one of my most favorite projects that I wear a lot when I go out, like on evening events. And it was the Print of the Waves shawl by Uni Jang. And I did it in Knit Picks Alpaca Cloud with beads on it. And I finished it in March of 2007. And this sucker took me 9 months to do. Like, it was tedious work with all of these beads, which is, I think, why I've never done anything with beads since then. It had in the past developed a hole, and then this time, I think last time I wore it, I tried to wear it, which was like over 6 months ago, I noticed another hole. And when I notice a hole, I immediately take it off, find a rubber band the hole so I don't lose any more stitches, and then put it aside to repair, which I then took 6 months to do, and I don't know why. Because my repairs, it's not like darning socks, like where you're going to recreate the hole. And lace, there's no way I'm going to be able to fix it the way it was. So what I basically just try to do is I take some sewing thread, make a loop, and then I just try to capture all of the loose stitches and kind of just do a knot there. So there, the lace is drawn in a little bit at that location, but lace is so stretchy. And honestly, it's such a big piece that nobody can really tell it's not part of the pattern except me. So I did that. And then in doing that, I found that I actually had another hole in it. And most likely, I don't know if these holes are snags or I hope they're not bug bites, but I'm hoping they're snags, which most likely they are because it is kind of thin yarn and I was never extremely gentle with it while wearing it. And it's black, so it goes with all of my evening attire, you know, cocktail dresses and things like that. I wore it a lot. So I'm sort of counting this as an FO because I finally got around to repairing it, though I haven't blocked it yet. I need to reblock it, which I'm going to do. It's on the list to do. The other thing that I am counting as sort of in the can is another mother bear, but it's not a successful mother bear. We're calling it Mother Bear number 5, and I'm not even putting it in Ravelry. Now, when I brought all of those materials to make bears up to my out-of-town work location, I also brought a crochet hook because I do like to crochet the bears too. So I did one knit bear, and then I was going to do one crochet bear, which I did. I started crocheting it at work, and I crocheted it here and there. Though it ended up being a little too fiddly for me to do at work. It required a little too much concentration. When I'm doing inspecting, I like to have mindless knitting, and I thought it'd be mindless, but I don't do it often enough for it to be mindless. So anyways, I did a lot of it, some of it at work, and then I did more of it in the room in the evening. But about halfway through, I noticed that one of the colors I was using, it was too loose. Like, it wasn't a thick enough, like, it must not have been a worsted like I thought. So it was giving a too loose fabric. I saw this, but I wasn't at home, and I wasn't going to be home for a few more days. And I really wanted to crochet this bear, and I only had this one hook. And so I just went ahead and finished it, thinking, I think this is a wool yarn, so I think I could probably felt it a little. And that would, you know, firm it up and would be fine. I got home and I finished the bear up, or I'd finished most of the bear. And so this past weekend, I finished the rest, which was just to put the head in. And the head color I used was a fine worsted weight, so it was very thick. And so I stuffed it and did the whole nine yards and closed it all up and did the ears and then soaked it in hot water, tried to do a little felting action and a little dryer action, and it didn't work. It didn't felt at all. It must have been an acrylic. I don't know about you, but I have all of these yarns and I didn't even check. I could have done like the match test or something like that, but I didn't. I just grabbed the scraps and just started making them. Yeah. I can't send that one to Mother Bear because there's a little too much white stuffing showing through, and I was kind of sad about it. So my boyfriend saw my sad face and he's like, I don't want to let that bear go anyways. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, I'm adopting it. And he took it away from me and he put it on the shelf in his office and he says, it's my bear now. So he adopted my sad bear, though I have to put a face on it. I didn't put a face on it yet. That was kind of an in the can, but a failure in the can. So a flop. We'll call it a flop. Now playing. The primary project I still have going and now playing is the Cori Fair Isle Vest. This is my Knit Picks palette project. It was a kit from Knit Picks. It is a multicolor Fair Isle vest, as it sounds. And I've been working on it for over a year now, and I really want to get it done. And I have just not been wanting to work on it. It's not the easiest project to tote around because it has multiple colors and charts and to remember where you were. And when I did most of this project before, I had it in a basket in my living room and I would pull it out and do a few rows. And then I had a basket that fit like all the colors and it was really easy to pick up and put down. Now that I'm traveling, where that's where most of my knitting time is, it's not as easy. So I kind of procrastinated it on the last few weeks. I think I did like 4 rows, maybe 5. But I need to slog through it because it is really bothering my brain to have this project just still on the needles. Like, I want it to be done. I want it to be off. I want to be complete. I want these yarns out of my stash on Ravelry. Anyways, that's me and my craziness. So I'm still working on it. I'm so close. I mean, I've already started the splits for the steeks for the arms and the V-neck. So I'm really on the home stretch. I just need to do it. Now the bear. I attempted to do another bear, but it didn't really work because I tried to start it while I was watching my friend get a tattoo. I was supposed to be there to hold her hand, but it was a little too tight for me to hold her hand. But I was still trying to distract her with conversation, and for whatever reason, I just couldn't start this bear. And it was the only thing I had to like grab which I hate. Like, I didn't have any plain travel projects to do or stockinette or socks. And what I ended up picking up, because I didn't have much time to kind of ruminate on my stash and figure out what I want, which usually takes me hours, I went to a project I had done before because my friend who was visiting mentioned, hey, I want like one of those big long cowls. And I thought, I just did one of those for Christmas. I just did the honey cowl for my sister and the Karen Simply Soft, and I have almost a full skein left, and I really liked the pattern, and I really liked how it turned out. So when I was looking to grab a project to bring with me out of town, now that I've finished the bears, I grabbed it because that is great mindless knitting. It's a simple slip stitch pattern that goes in and around and around and around, and every other row is knit and it's long. And so that is my new work project while I'm out in the field during the day. And it's working really well. I've got about, probably about 3 inches done. That is my new one that I cast on. And it's I don't normally do the exact same pattern and the exact same yarn within like 2 months of each other, 2 months of finishing the last one, or if that much. But that's just the way it happened this time, this way my brain worked. And it's not something I mind doing again, which says a lot for the pattern right there. So I hope to finish this one, and I will gift this out to my friend. She didn't care what the color was going to be, so I will send it out to her when I finish. And those are the only two projects I have on my needles right now. Coming attractions. I could not stand that I couldn't grab a project real quick. Like, I didn't have something ready and waiting to go. A few months ago, I don't know if you remember, but I went through something where I basically went through my queue, queued all these projects, printed the patterns, pulled the yarn, and had them like waiting in my craft area for when I wanted to do the next project. And I think I did like 6 projects this way. And that worked really well because I spent like one day thinking a lot about this and pulling yarns. And then when I had these moments where, oh my gosh, it's time for me to leave again to go out of town, I don't have a project, I could grab one of those. Or what I had done when I didn't know what I wanted in it is I would grab like 3 of them, and then I would decide while I was on the road, because I would actually have the needles in it, the needle tips actually for knit picks, and then the pattern and the yarn. So that's what I'm going to do again, and I think I'm going to do primarily the hats. I have decided I am going to do hats for the holidays this year to give as gifts. I'm going to be doing a bunch of different hat patterns this year, and I'm just going to do whatever floats my boat, whatever yarn I have in my stash, and whatever kind of looks cool and matches. And then I think I'm going to give like the hats in mass, and everyone kind of choose which hat they want. I have to go through and print all the patterns and do all of the sorting, and I haven't had time to do that because I'm hardly ever home. I plan on doing that soon. Gossip. Let's talk about work, which is why I have no time to do anything. It has heated up, meaning they are working 10-hour days, and they have gone into the contract work part of this, meaning the part I have to inspect, which not very exciting, but is gravel depth. We're putting on 2 square miles of 4-inch gravel, and my job right now is going around with a probe that has a flat piece 4 inches up and probing all everywhere to make sure that we have 4 inches of gravel. Yeah. The other part of that is that they're working 10-hour days, which means I'm working 10-plus-hour days because I work partly what they work, and then I still have paperwork to do on top of that, of being out in the field. So it's made for some really long, tiring nights up here in Lone Pine. I am on week 12, and I think I'll most likely be here the duration of the project, which means I have another 32 weeks or more. Actually, no, wait, 38 weeks to go. It's not so bad up here. The problem is that I then only have the weekend. So I come home on a Friday night, and then I leave Monday morning. And during that weekend, I have to see friends. I have to do laundry. I have to do groceries. I have to do any kind of errands, shopping, because they're where I'm at. It's, 150 miles round trip to like the nearest really good shopping. I'm like in very, very small town in Eastern Sierras. It's getting a little old. I'm consoling myself that the money is good, and I am setting extra time away for vacation because I alternate my overtime for money and then for banking time. If I can stick it out, I will get brownie points for my job as well as set myself up well. But it is just tiring. If anyone, I'm sure you, other people have traveled extensively and done this, and it just, you just want to be at home. Like, when I had the whole thing happen with the bear, and I knew it could have been solved if I could have just gone down to a smaller crochet hook, and I couldn't because my crochet hooks were 220 miles away. That's a little frustrating. The thing I do have looking forward to is my vacation. I had thought about going to Madrona or Stitches West this year, where I have a lot of friends going to both of them, but instead, I will be going to Japan. Yay! And that's like Japan in a week and a half. It's like really soon. The main reason we're going to Japan is it is my boyfriend's 30th birthday. He will be turning 30 on February 25th. And I asked him, where would he want to go? Let's do an international trip. Now that he has a job and he has money coming in, it was a good time to travel again. I thought for your 30th, you should do something special. He actually went through a few different ideas and then chose Japan because it's a place I've always wanted to go. It's a place he's visited briefly for a few days and wanted to go back to. And it just worked. And the plan is we're going for 8 nights? No, 7 nights, 8 days. Because of the way the flight goes. Like, we leave Friday night, but we don't get to Japan until Sunday morning. Like, we lose a whole day. Whole day in flight. The plan right now is we will be in Tokyo for 2 nights, and then we'll be going to a place that is actually in the mountainous area outside of Tokyo called Hakone, where we'll be staying. I'm very excited. And like a traditional Japanese inn, it's called a ryokan, and it has the hot mineral baths. So that's actually one of our splurges because it actually is, it's a smaller place, and then it's kind of like their versions of resorts, I guess. And it comes with like dinner and breakfast included. And you get to use these baths, and they're segregated baths, except for certain times when you can do a co-ed or you can like reserve a private bath. And I'm really excited that we're going to do that. And then after that, we're going to go to Kyoto for 4 nights, and we're doing trains everywhere. And yeah, we're just really looking forward to it. I've been doing a lot of research, trying to learn Japanese, which is not easy. I had no idea, like, they have, like, 3 different types of written language, and then, like, the way they speak it versus they write it doesn't correlate, and I'm just now just trying to pick up some phrases, and that's hard enough. It's not something that is rolling off my tongue, and unfortunately, it's not something that I can read and then correlate to a spoken thing. Like, their characters and then the spoken language aren't, it's hard. Anyone who knows Japanese, wow, amazing. I will have lots of stories from that. I will be hitting, I think I will actually be bringing back, I'm going to try to find some yarn, and I think I'm going to try to find some fabric. I have a few friends who would appreciate some Japanese fabric, including my mother. So I'm going to be dragging my boyfriend into some places where we can find that, in addition to all of the temples and all the food and all of the experiences. I'm just so excited. It's so what I need. I just need that break. And because I'm not totally insane, we come back on a Sunday, and we actually leave Tokyo at like 12:30 a.m. and we get into LA like 5:30 p.m. that same day. So we like go back in time. I took the day after off because I thought I'd be jet lagged, and I have the time. My boyfriend has to go right back to work because he doesn't have a lot of time. It's all filling up with those errands I need to do that I can't do on a Saturday and Sunday, which is kind of annoying. But that's okay. I'm excited, and I think it will rejuvenate me, and maybe I won't be so tired to be coming up here for a while. Sadly, no Stitches West for me, no Madrona, but to make up for it, I think I'm planning on going to Rhinebeck. That's the plan right now anyways. I haven't done a visit to my family in New England, and I'm not really going to have time anytime this summer based on what's going on. So I've told my mom that my plan is to go over there for Columbus Day. I'll go for at least a week, if not a little more, and then I would like her to go to Rhinebeck with me. So yay, Rhinebeck. Anyways, that's the plan right now. It might change, but I'm really hoping it doesn't. I would love to go to Rhinebeck. What else to talk to you guys about? Oh, I want to talk about how I found a home for an unloved knit. Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I started knitting, I bought some crappy acrylic, super crappy acrylic, now that I look back on it. I don't know why, but I used to get sucked into these cheap deals at Hirschner's. I don't even know if that's how you say it. I know they still exist, but they are not high quality. They're not purveyors of a lot of high quality yarn. Or they do have some, but I didn't buy it. I can't even remember when I first started, I bought some of this weird acrylic and it was like two strands of a mohair type held together. And they were like lace weight. And yeah, I had like a ball of this and I decided that it would be really cool to make like a lace kind of scarf out of like a mohairy clingy acrylic because that would totally show the pattern off. Yeah, so I knit the branching out pattern scarf by Susan Lawrence in December of 2007. And it was 100% acrylic in purple and black with the two strands held together. And I didn't want to throw it away. I didn't want to give it away because I wasn't proud of it, but I didn't want to throw it away. So I've had it like in a box with my scrappy yarn for a while, I think with the idea that I would rip it out one day and reuse the yarn for something, like my ugly blankets I make, which is where I put like all these ugly scraps and just knit them into strips and make an ugly blanket, which I love, by the way. I bring it up to Lone Pine. It is one of the warmest things ever. But I was pulling out the scraps for the Mother Bear and I came across it, and I happened to be going to lunch with a girlfriend that day who I hadn't seen since before the holidays, so I had a little gift for her. But last minute, she had to bring her daughter because her childcare plans fell through. And that's fine. Her daughter's adorable. She's 2.5. But I didn't want to give my friend... I don't normally give my friend's kids gifts because that starts to get a lot. I didn't want to go to lunch and give her mom a gift and not give her something. So I came and I was going through and I saw this scarf. And I'm like, maybe this will be a good gift. You know, it's a shorter scarf, which is one of the reasons I couldn't give to my friends. It's acrylic. And if worse comes to worse, she can use it for dress up or something. You know, it's something, I think. So I wrapped it up and we went to lunch and I pulled out the gift for my friend and I gave the gift to her daughter and she ripped it open and her mom's like, it's a scarf. She immediately put it on her around her neck and like went off like a fashion model. Which is made more hilarious by the fact that it was like 75 that day. Like, it is so not winter weather right now in Los Angeles. Her mom says that she actually needs a scarf. She loves purple. And it's just, she's a little fashionista in the making. So she really liked it. And I was just really pleased that I was able to find a good home for this knit that I've had forever that I thought I was going to frog, that I thought I was going to rip. Made me feel good. Behind the scenes. So behind the scenes is a section where I kind of talk about my yearly goals for myself, sort of like on resolutions, but not exactly. And I said for this 2-month period, I was going to focus on travel and what I wanted to do with that. And so today I kind of want to talk about a travel philosophy that I want to adopt. Now, when I'm in my younger days, when I did a lot of my international traveling in my 20s, I had a fear of looking like a tourist. In fact, not more a phobia. I hated looking like a tourist and did everything I could not to, to kind of blend in. But I really prevented myself, I think, from having some adventures because I was so worried that somebody would see me as a tourist. When in reality, I was a tourist. And I have not experienced a lot of these things that maybe other people take for granted, and I shouldn't be embarrassed. And so my new philosophy is no embarrassment. I am a tourist. I am embracing being a tourist, and I will embrace every new opportunity and every possible thing to do. I will not be afraid of embarrassing myself about anything. And this will be challenged in Japan, where there's a few things that we want to do. One of them is, I don't know if you know this, but I guess the Japanese culture, it's very, accepted to go to these things called love hotels, which are basically these really interesting hotels where you rent rooms by the hour, and they're like these themed rooms. And because, I guess, of the way Japanese society is, where a lot of people live with their parents until later ages, that this is a known and accepted, though untalked about, part of Japanese culture. And we want to try to, my boyfriend and I totally want to go to one of these hotels and like try a room for a while. Which will be interesting because it's not a traditional tourist thing. Everything will be in Japanese. And because of the way the hotels are, there's like, you never see anyone. Like, everything is done through buttons and pneumatic tubes because the idea is that nobody will know who's checking in and out. Part of my new philosophy, in the past, I would be like, no, I'd be too embarrassed to do this. And I might still be kind of embarrassed while doing it, but I'm going to do it because I'm not going to let some idea of how someone's judging me or whatever stop me from having cool adventures. So this will be my first time kind of embracing this travel philosophy, and I hope I can do it. I think I can. Like, I'm not as bad as when I traveled in my younger days. I don't care as much what people think, but I used to care a lot, and I really think that that precluded me from doing a lot of cool things. Not anymore. I will try everything fearlessly. And I will go to a country where I speak very, very little Japanese. And hopefully, I know they speak very little English. And we will get along with lots of smiles and lots of hand gestures. The other thing on my travels that I want to do is some type of travel log. And I haven't decided how I'm doing this. And I'm actually would love to hear some people's suggestions. I really want to record my journeys because my memory is shoddy. Just not the way it used to be. And I think a lot of the nuances in travel get lost in memories over time. And so in the past, I have kept a travel journal. And now when I go back and read it, it like almost brings back such clear images and clear impressions of the day that I definitely want to do it on all my future travels. However, I haven't decided if the best way to go about this is a blog. I kind of like that idea, or actually a written travel log, or combo. I'm thinking there's this website I found where you can log in and do like travel blogs on their site. And in the end, you could have like all of them printed. I like the idea of that. I just don't think I'm going to have that much access to the internet because I'm not bringing a laptop because it's just extra weight. But I like the idea of doing a typed word with pictures. Right now I'm leaning towards getting a journal and then afterwards going back and maybe taking time like I'm up here in Lone Pine and creating those entries afterwards where I can then send them somewhere to print them and make like a little Japanese travel book. If anyone has any ideas or anything they've done or any suggestion they've seen or something on Pinterest, I would really appreciate anyone's suggestions on how to go about capturing these memories and capturing, you know, all the awesomeness that is a trip that you can then look back later on or share with other people. Leave a comment on the episode thread for this episode. Hollywood story. I have a Hollywood story and it was really exciting. I mentioned, I think in the last episode, about how there had been a movie filming up here, the Tarantino, that I hadn't seen anybody, but my contractor had, and it was kind of exciting. Might have been last episode, the episode before. Well, last week when I checked in, it was really busy at the motel, which is not usual because there's hardly anyone staying up here in the wintertime. All of the girls that check in know me now. They're like, oh, Allison, how you doing? So when I get here, they usually have my key ready and everything, and I just do a little signatures and I go on my way. So I pull in and I do the temporary parking so I can run in and get my key. And as I'm parking, this group of people walk in front of me and they're talking about where they're going to go for dinner. And one of the guys turns around and I'm looking at him. I'm like, that's Quentin Tarantino. I'm like, bam, Quentin Tarantino. As he goes on his way, because obviously I've talked about how I don't interrupt stars in their lives. So I was like, huh, cool. Checked in, and this particular night I was committed to exercising as part of the 100 miles to camp, KIP, if you haven't heard about it. We're doing a little thing where a group of us are trying to dance, walk, run, jog, bike 100 miles before Camp KIP in April. And so I'm part of that, and I'm up to 36 miles now. I had been slacking off last week or the week before that, and I was like, I have to go exercise now, because when you work all day and you work long hours and you come back and it's like 6:30, you know, the last thing you want to do is work out. So I made myself literally come in my room, throw everything down, jump in my suitcase, put my workout clothes on and go. I was like, from check-in to when I was in the workout room was like 5 minutes, because I was just committed to doing it right away. So I get on the treadmill, and this hotel gym is really small. It is a treadmill, a stationary bike, an elliptical machine, and a like machine that has like four different kind of weights, like a leg weight, an abs, and it's one of those all-in-one kind of machines. And that's it. And two TVs on the wall. So I get on the treadmill, which is what I usually do, and I start it, and I'm looking for something on the television, because what I like to do is watch television if it's interesting enough, and then during commercials, I listen to music. And as I'm doing it, someone walked in, and that's weird. And all of my weeks have been going here, I've never worked out with someone in the gym at the same time. Like, nobody uses it. I know somebody uses it because they move the remote around. So I think someone uses it in the morning or something, but I've never seen anyone there in the evenings. And so I was really surprised when the door opened and I look over and it's Jamie Foxx. Yep, Jamie Foxx of Ray fame or Dreamgirls or apparently the new Quentin Tarantino movie that is filming. But he came in with a friend, and I was just like, I smiled and I was like, will the TV bother you? And he was like, no. But then I still put it on silent because I was like, it would bother me. And yeah, so I worked out in the same room as Jamie Foxx. I was very cognizant of trying to give kind of a privacy, so I kind of didn't listen to their conversations. I didn't want to. Like, I don't want to hear something that I didn't want to repeat anything, and I didn't want to be tempted to. So I kind of put my headphones up and kind of focused on my workout. But I will say that because he was there, I worked out a crap load harder. Like, I have been kind of doing like running 5 minutes, walking three, not because I have to walk, it's just because I'm not a fan of running. So this is how I make myself do it. I ran like a mile, and then I walked for 3 minutes, and then I ran another mile. And I was like, damn, because I didn't want to look like a wimp with Jamie Foxx in there. He was doing some weights on the ground, and he had, like, no room. And so I offered to move to the elliptical machine so that they could have the room behind the treadmill so it would be a little more roomy. And so then I did another 15 minutes on that, and I worked hard. I like to say I worked out with Jamie Foxx. And no, I didn't really have any conversations behind that. As I said, you know, he was working out, and I never talk to anyone in the gym, especially. I'm like, I'm all about working out, and I don't look pretty when I work out. And it was just cool enough he was in there. And apparently when I talked to the ladies all around, they said he was very nice the whole time he was staying here. He was a very nice guy. And in fact, the town here, the basketball team, and this is like a town of like 2,000 people, I guess he showed up at their basketball game or the high school, and I'm not sure which, but he bought the team new uniforms, which is awesome and very generous and very nice of him. He's a big basketball fan. That is my Hollywood story this week. That brings us to some production notes. First off, I want to say that I was on iTunes and I was just checking my feed just to see if there were any new iTunes reviews. And I think there was one. So thank you very much. Just as a note, leave reviews for your favorite podcasters. We like them. They help pop us up for other people. And it really just gives you a pick you up from your day. And it's something you can do very easily. Did notice that all of my back episodes aren't there, and I was very frustrated by that, and I went off on a search to figure out why I only have 8 episodes showing up, the latest 8 episodes. And what I determined is the place where I host my podcast, which is where I've hosted my blog for the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, doesn't allow something that they're in their program doesn't allow all of my back episodes to be there. This is not acceptable to me because I know when a lot of people find a new podcast, they like to go back and listen to all the episodes, me included. I will be moving my website to a new host soon. I think I'm actually going to have my boyfriend redesign my blog and give me a new WordPress blog, and then we're going to host it ourselves. So if you have seen that and noticed it, or if you're a new listener, I'm sorry. You can still go get all of the episodes through the HollywoodKnitter.com website. And I promise that probably in April, I will have this issue all taken care of. And hopefully all my back episodes will be showing up on iTunes. As part of that whole revamp, I am actually I'm creating a logo that I'm going to put on some business cards. And I think I'm going to make some podcast buttons. I'm going to do a new banner for a website. I'm going to totally do one. So my boyfriend is helping me with that. He's a website designer and has some Photoshop skills. So we're going to do something simple and see if we can come up with it. I wanted to try that before going out and trying to find a graphic artist, which I might still do if I don't like what he comes up with. But I don't have a lot of money and I don't want to shortchange someone for something I really want. I'm envisioning is very simple. Still, I'm excited. I'm going to make cards and buttons. Kind of makes me a real podcaster. Not that I'm not, but, you know, it's just that extra step. The other note is that the contest is still open. This was the contest that I announced last podcast, which is celebrating my January, February resolutions of travel. And all you have to do to enter that is go to the thread on the Ravelry, and you just have to tell me your favorite place you've ever visited or a place you've always wanted to visit. And I want to thank everyone who has left comments. You guys are adding so many places that I want to visit, both in the U.S. and internationally. And yeah, my list of bucket list of travel is getting longer and longer thanks to you guys, which is awesome because I do want to find really cool new places to travel. And I'd love to hear where other people like to go. Again, the contest is open until February 29th, and you will win a skein of Blue Moon Socks That Rock and a pattern from Kat Bordy that was part of the Socks That Rock Club in 2009. And if you go to the thread, you can see the picture of the yarn and the pattern. If anyone is trying to reach me, you can find me on Ravelry as Allison1031. I'm also on Twitter as Allison1031, or I am on Plurk as Hollywood Knitter, though I need to get more into Plurk. I'm weird. Like, I'm afraid to jump into conversations, and I feel like everybody knows each other on Plurk. I'm going to try to do that more. I want to become more socially connected to people. You can find anything I've talked about on my show notes, which can be found on my website at hollywoodknitter.com. Or you can drop me an email at hollywoodknitter@gmail.com. I would like to thank everyone for listening today. And I want to say that's a wrap from Hollywood, where fantasy meets fiber and dreams are knit.